Hey there, welcome to the program. It's Gary Zimak, and I am so glad to be back with you here today. Felt weird taking yesterday off, but yesterday here in the United States, it's Thanksgiving, and I really enjoyed spending the time with my family and not having to do the show. You know, I love doing the program, but a day off every now and then is really nice. But I hope you had a great day today. I hope you didn't miss me yesterday. I hope you didn't miss me too much. But we are back today. It's Friday, November the 27th. And as we prepare to close out the week, and you know, this is interesting. This is the last program that I'm going to be doing before Advent begins. So yeah, Advent begins on Sunday. And when I'm back on the air on Monday, we are going to be in the season of Advent. The program is going to take on an Advent theme. So you're going to be hearing a little bit about Advent every day. And, you know, as a reminder, Advent is that time when the church calls us to prepare to welcome Jesus on Christmas Day. So we've got this period of preparation, right? So we're going to try to get rid of some of the junk. You know, in a sense, it's similar to Lent, but it doesn't have that penitential feel to it. You don't normally give up something for Advent, but what we should be doing is preparing, because we're not ready to welcome Christ. You know, we think we are. We may think we are, but we're really not. There's something that we can do to better prepare. But I assure you, listen, you know me, it's not going to be painful. It's going to be good news, because I like to keep this program upbeat. And you know what? It's really not that hard when you're talking about Jesus and his church to keep the message upbeat, because it is all good news. But we don't want to get so... And this is why I'm really excited to do today's program. We don't want to get so caught up in the fact that, yes, there is a hell and not everybody goes to heaven. We don't want to get so caught up in that fact that we are living lives of fear and that we're terrified of God. That shouldn't be the way it is. And that doesn't mean that we can goof off and not follow his commandments and expect to get to heaven. It doesn't mean that. But it also doesn't mean we don't have to dwell excessively on the negative, because there's so much good news when it comes to Jesus Christ and the church that he founded and our Father in heaven who loves us. There's so much good news that I think we can just focus on that and everything else will fall into place. So with that in mind, during the Advent season, we're going to keep it positive. But look, I'm going to challenge you. You know me. We're buddies, right? We're friends. I can give it to you straight, and I can tell you the truth. And I plan to do that. There's going to be times where I'm going to try to stretch you a little bit as I feel the Lord stretching me. We're going to together try to make this the best Advent that we ever experienced, so that when Christmas Day rolls around, and you know, pandemic, no pandemic, doesn't matter, Jesus is still born. He is still coming on Christmas Day. Of course, he was born 2,000 years ago. But we still focus on the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Pandemic doesn't change that. And if anything, we've got more time to do it now. So I really hope you'll be able to be with me throughout Advent and let your friends know. The more, the merrier. You've got plenty of room around the table here. I'm going to talk about that. Couple of things I want to talk about today. If I tell you this, I don't want you to go anywhere, because this is going to be positive. See, I'm already anticipating how you're going to react. You have been hearing a lot about judgment lately, especially if you're following the daily mass readings, if you're paying attention to the weekly mass readings on Sunday. Now, that is, of course, if you're Catholic. If you're not Catholic, you're not really necessarily hearing this, but those of us who are Catholic, we have the ability to go to daily Mass, to go to church every day, and at Mass, there are readings. These readings have been focused lately on the end times and judgment. And the church does that for a reason, because the church wants to make sure we realize that our time on earth is not, it's not infinite, it's limited, and that we don't know when we're going to be called home to meet the Lord and to be judged by him. Again, no secret. So a lot of judgment talk. And I want to be really careful. And again, it's by design. You're closing out one church year. You're beginning with Advent, the new church year. So as you close out the old, it's time to think about starting over, getting prepared, getting ready to hit the ground running for Advent, you know, to improve on the things that need improvement in our lives. So therefore, there's that conscious decision by the church to remind us that our time here is not going to last forever, so we should get busy. But the downside of that is you can hear all this judgment talk and readings from the book of Revelation and start to freak out completely because it's like, oh my gosh, what if I don't make it to heaven? I'm a bad person. God's going to condemn me to hell. No, we're not. Listen, and that is a very, very typical reaction. I don't want you to think that way. So what I want to do today is look at, because I've wanted to do this for a few days, but I wanted to wait until the last show before Advent begins to address this idea of judgment. Should you be afraid to be judged? My answer is no, provided you're following Jesus and listening to him and trying your best, right? You shouldn't be afraid because God is merciful. God loves you. Doesn't mean you won't be judged. But so with that in mind, I want to look at something written in the first letter of St. John. We're going to talk about that today. A very popular verse, but it's not usually used in connection with the final judgment. So I'm going to tie that in because that's exactly what John was talking about in this verse. So if you are panicked at all about the fact that one day you're going to be judged on your actions, you need to stick around because you're going to feel better after we're done talking. All right? I'm positive about that. And then the other thing is I want to address an email that I got. The individual who sent it to me, I answered the email, but I want to address it on the program too because you might have the same question. And it has to do with something I said a few days ago. So we're going to do all that after we pray. So if you're ready, and even if you're not ready, because I'm going to do it anyway because it's my show, let's pray. Let's turn to our Father in heaven and ask him to give us what we need. All right, would you join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Dear Father in heaven, first of all, we thank you. We thank you for all that you have done for us and all that you continue to do for us, Father, for your constant provision every day, for all of our lives. Father, we thank you for being here for us now, for giving us the ability to turn to you in prayer, to turn to you with our needs, to ask you for what it is that we need this day, both material and spiritual. So, Father, we recognize that you love us. We recognize that you are all-powerful. So we were able to pray with confidence. And therefore, we lift up our intentions to you, Father God. We ask you to hear our cries for help. We need lots of help in this world, Father. We just can't get through this life on our own. Everything that we have, even our friends and our family members, our jobs, any possessions, they are all gifts from you, and we thank you for that. We recognize that, and we ask you, Father, to this day, watch over our family and our friends and provide for our needs. Father, we ask that you grant us the grace to remain free from sin. Help us to avoid offending you by sin. And we pray, Father, for a new outpouring of your Holy Spirit on this day. Please fill us with your Spirit and guide my thoughts and my words so that I can deliver the message on this show that you would like me to deliver. And please open all of our minds and all of our hearts so that we will be receptive to your message. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, now I'm good. My name is Gary Zimek, and you are listening to Following the Truth. We do this program 5 days a week, 30 minutes each day. You can download the podcast, but obviously you're listening, so you get that. I want to point out also, in case you're not familiar, two things that I do: a daily email devotional. It's called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You can sign up for that by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. You get a Bible verse and a message, very simple reflection each day, once a day. No spam, just an email each day. Doesn't cost anything. All you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com and provide your email address. Now, that also, in addition to this show, is going to shift to an Advent theme. So it'll kind of supplement what I do here on the podcast each day. It might not always be the same message, though. So that's one thing, the daily email devotional. The second thing is my weekly podcast, The Gary Zimak Show, is available typically every Friday, which means it's available now for download at wherever you get your normal podcasts. And in that podcast, I talk about the Sunday Mass readings. So the edition that's out today contains the little reflection, my reflection on the Sunday Mass readings, which this week is the first Sunday of Advent. I like to do it. You know my style, right? I keep it simple. I make it relevant. These Mass readings really matter to our lives. A lot of times we sometimes struggle to find the theme, but so I try to keep it simple, but yet give you substance. If you enjoy what I do here, I think you'll enjoy that show. So that's The Gary Zimak Show, and you can get that podcast wherever you get this podcast. You can also go to my website, followingthetruth.com. for more information about the radio shows as well as the email devotional. All right, that's the news. And then again, Monday we're going to shift to Advent. But if you're in the United States, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving Day yesterday. We have so much to be thankful for. Even though we're in the middle of a global pandemic, we still have the presence of God in our lives. And honestly, that should be enough, right? But he's given us so much more. So I had a fantastic day yesterday with my family. We even connected with some additional family members, some extended family members, a lot of them. And we did it over the internet using Zoom. So it was really, really nice. We did it safely. Eileen, myself, Mary and Elizabeth, we just had a dinner for the four of us. But it turned out to be a great Thanksgiving, especially when we were able to use technology to connect with our family members. Okay, so that's that. Now, the one thing, before we get to today's topic about judgment, I want to talk about something that I said a few days ago. And I really like it when you write to me questioning what I say, because sometimes I'm thinking one thing in my head and I might not think of other aspects of what I'm saying. So if I say something that sounds confusing, always feel free to call me on it. Shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com to give me a chance to explain and maybe clarify or you know, go into a little more detail. So a few days ago, I was talking about the fact that God doesn't always say yes to our prayers. Sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. And what we can assume, because he's all-loving and he's all-powerful, that he's doing that for a reason. It's not like we stumped him and he's got to try to figure out how to answer our prayer. He can handle anything we throw at him. But sometimes the best answer is not yes. Sometimes the best answer is yes, but not now, which is wait. Or sometimes the answer is no. And keying off of what Jesus said about earthly fathers knowing how to give their children what's good for them, and therefore your heavenly Father knows what's good for you, I made the comment that sometimes God says no to our prayer requests because what we're asking for is not good for us. And good for us means good for us to help us to grow closer to God and get eventually make it to heaven. So, and you know, this is a hard one to think about sometimes. I remember I was given a talk one time in Southern California, and after the talk, I had mentioned that, you know, I was praying when I was young that I would be able to get a girlfriend because I wasn't dating anybody, and I was praying to get a girlfriend. And this one potential girl that I met, it didn't work out, and I was praying for it to happen. And I mentioned that in that case, it wasn't good for me. And the guy challenged me, and he said, well, how can getting a girlfriend be bad for you? Well, it can be bad for you if it's the wrong person. And this person could have, looking back now, I get why it wasn't the best situation for me. But here's the thing, like some potentially good, in our mind, good prayer requests aren't necessarily good for us when you look at the big picture. I've prayed for jobs in the past and I didn't get them. Now, there's no guarantee that I'm in this life going to know why it wasn't good for me. God didn't promise that he's going to explain everything to me. So sometimes I just don't understand. But look, even if a job pays more money and I'm struggling to pay my bills, getting that job is not always what's best for me, because there could be a reason why that job could hurt my family life. Maybe I have to work too many hours. Maybe once I get the job, I'm not going to pray anymore. Maybe if I have too much money but have a greed problem, I'm going to go crazy spending money wastefully and get myself into a hole financially, and God doesn't want that to happen. So, you know, it's dangerous for us to decide what's good for us and what's not. Now, go ahead and ask for whatever you think you need, as long as it's not sinful. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But when God says no, understand that he knows what's best. And if it's not going to help you, or at this time it's not good for you, he's not going to give it to you. And that's one way to know for sure that we don't know what's best. We don't always know what to ask for. So somebody wrote to me, and it's a really great question, and I love getting good questions like this. And her question was, I'm praying for family members to come back to the church, and it's not happening. How can that be bad? And that's an excellent question. And what I replied with was, first of all, God didn't say no yet. So you can still keep praying for these family members to come back to the church. And you should. Why isn't it happening today? Well, again, I can't really speak for God, but I can offer a few suggestions. Number one, people have free will. And many of us, and I say us because I fought God for many years, even though I didn't leave the church physically, mentally I wasn't there. And we often fight God because we're stubborn. I don't want to go back to church. It's a bunch of hypocrites. I don't need God. You know, and we fight him. He wants everybody to come to church. He wants people to love him and worship him with other members of the church, but people have free will. So they have the ability to resist God calling them to return to church. And then also, you know, you have to take, and again, I can't speak for God, but another possible reason, and this is a really big source of anxiety for many people, loved ones who have fallen away from the faith. Why isn't he answering the prayer today? Well, maybe your faith as the person praying needs to grow, and your faithfulness to God needs to be strengthened. So by delaying the answer, again, this is just conjecture on my part. I don't know in each case why he delays answering. But maybe your faith has to grow. And by praying for your loved one every day, you learn to rise above your feelings and pray even when you don't feel like it. And you can learn to trust God more by praying when you don't see any results. That's not easy. That is not easy. So maybe he wants us to grow. And that's where the trust comes in. We have to believe that our prayers are having some effect, even if we don't see the results. So if I'm praying for a loved one to come back to the church, I need to believe, and I fully believe this, that my prayer is bearing some fruit. That person's heart may be softening a little bit because of my prayer. I might not see it. We have no idea what's going on in somebody's head. Maybe I'm benefiting from that prayer. Maybe I'm growing in my faith. Maybe I'm learning something from it. But I believe that every one of my prayers bears fruit, even though I can't see immediate results. So in the case of praying for a loved one, just because God is not answering immediately and that person isn't returning to the church or growing closer to God or making an effort to start praying more, just because you can't see it doesn't mean there's nothing happening. But that's where we have to operate on faith. So yes, please keep praying for loved ones who have left the church, who have turned away from God. They absolutely need your prayers. God wants everybody to end up in heaven. And oftentimes it's up to us to help them. Okay, so that's one thing. And again, I thank you for sending in questions, because that really is important that you give me a chance to explain what I'm saying. But when we pray, it really comes down to trusting God. Do I trust that he's going to give me what's best for me at the right time? And we all struggle with that at one time or another. All right, let's talk about this judgment thing. This is what I wanted to discuss today. Because again, we're hearing so much in the daily readings at Mass about judgment, the final judgment. Now, are you scared to face God in judgment? Now, there should be a little concern. I'm not going to tell you there shouldn't be, because otherwise we'd just cruise through life and never try to make any effort to improve. Yes, I know we should love God and do good for him just because we love him, but we're human. We got a fallen human nature. And sometimes all of us can get a little lazy to one degree or another and say that, well, I don't really want to be nice to people today. I don't really feel like praying. I'd rather watch TV because I'm having a bad day, you know? So there's some element of that fallen human nature that affects all of us. So there should be some concern. Yes, we should do good, not because we're afraid we're going to get in trouble at our judgment, but because we love God and we want to repay, if you will, Jesus for suffering and dying on the cross for us. You know, he saved us. He redeemed us. It hurt. It was very painful for him. And he loves me unconditionally. And the closer I get to him, yes, I should want to serve him just because I love him. But there's going to be those days when even that's not enough. And I'm just not feeling it. And that's when thinking about, well, I am going to be judged one day. And maybe I better make that phone call today, or send that email today, or say a few extra prayers today, because I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. That's when that comes in handy. But I'm going to say it again. God is merciful. God loves you unconditionally. You should not be scared to meet him on the day of your judgment. As long as you're trying your best, yes, you mess up from time to time, but then you seek forgiveness. As Catholics, for major sins, we do that through the sacrament of confession. You know, and then we try to do better with God's grace. We ask for the grace to do better. But as long as you're trying sincerely, and only you are going to know if you're trying sincerely, if you're doing that, I fully believe that your judgment will be fine. You will make it to heaven. I mean, so don't get hung up over that. I want to read to you from the first letter of St. John, something he said. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. This is used frequently. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. You hear this verse used a lot when it comes to a reason to not be afraid. God loves you perfectly, unconditionally, therefore you should have no fear. And that's true. That is a good message. However, if we back up a few verses, we're going to see the context that John was writing in when he talked about this. Backing up to verse 16. And again, this is 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. So we know and believe the love God has for us. All right, so we know and we believe the love God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So not only does God love, God is love. So God cannot not love, if that makes any sense. God loves because that's who he is. Now, listen to verse 17. In this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. We should have confidence in the day of judgment. God is merciful, and he's going to cut us so many breaks to help us to do well on our judgment day. He's going to give us every chance imaginable, and realize that for your loved ones too. So we shouldn't be afraid of an all-loving Father, because he's going to do everything possible to make sure that we end up in heaven with him when our life on earth is over. And that goes for your loved ones too, who are away from the church. He cares about them more than you do. So you keep doing your part. You pray for them. You fast for them. Do whatever you need to do. But trust that God is merciful. And don't be afraid of judgment day. Yes, it should motivate you, but it shouldn't make you afraid. Unless you're not doing anything. Unless you're sleepwalking through life and you're making no effort to love God and love people. Then you should be worried. Then you should be concerned. But even then, you shouldn't freak out about it. You should do something about it. Because every one of us right now has the opportunity to do that, especially as we head into Advent. So don't be afraid of your judgment day. Instead, do the best job you can today to love God and to love other people. And make sure you ask him to help you. That's why he gave you the Holy Spirit. And the first fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. So if you're having trouble loving other people, and remember, love is not a feeling, love is an action or a conscious choice, ask the Holy Spirit to help. The Holy Spirit is real good at producing love in you. Don't be afraid to be judged. Just do your best. And remember that God loves you and he is merciful. Okay? That's my message for you today. And I'm looking at the clock on the wall. I've got to run. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. If you have any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. And I'm going to reach out to you. I know it's a tough time of year. If you're able to help me financially with this program, with my full-time ministry, I would be so grateful. It's getting a little tough right now. So if you enjoy the show, if you enjoy the daily email devotional, I would ask you kindly to go to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and consider becoming a monthly sponsor to this program or to make a one-time donation. All right? Followingthetruth.com. Thank you so much for your consideration. Have a fantastic week, and I look forward to being back with you here, God willing, on Monday with a new episode of Following the Truth. God bless you.